So we're going to look at Revelation 17, 1 through 18. Revelation 17, and if you want to have a title for this, it would be The Exposure of the Great Harlot. The Exposure of the Great Harlot. So Revelation chapter 17, verse 1, we read, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication.'" Now, of course, this harlot is talking about not an actual prostitute, but a metaphor, one that stands for a prostitute. And the prostitute here is not, it's not Christianity. It's religion. It's religion. Religion says that man is basically good, and that goodness needs to be nurtured and fueled. And if we can just provide a means to fuel that goodness, then we can actually work our way to goodness and godness. And the idea is that we can just all get together, I guess you would say, and feel all right. If we can just all get together, it would make it happen. But God says, "There are none righteous, no, not one. There are none who understands. There are none who seek after God. All are gone out of the way. All are together or become unprofitable. There's not one good, no, not one." And then Paul says, "Our throat is like an open grave. With our tongues we have practiced deceit. The poison of snakes is under our lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known." And then he says, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." Would you agree to that? That's exactly true. This is what people do not want to hear this. This is not tickling an ear, but it's telling the truth about us. Now, religion began when Adam and Eve stitched for themselves fig leaf coverings, what I call Operation Fig Leaves. This is the way sinful humanity deals with the guilt and penalty of sin before God. They cover their guilt by doing good deeds, good for humanity, taking care of the earth. And religion emphasizes man's good works. Religion is a basis for self-righteousness. Religion provides confusion in how to get to God. Now, in contrast, remember, God made animal skins. You remember that? And he covered Adam and Eve's fig leaves with animal skins. And this was communicating to us that the only biblical way back to the tree of life was going to be through sacrifice, the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So Operation Fig Leaves started there, but then it led to the Tower of Babel. The name means gate to God, and I said last time that it means confusion. And that's exactly what happened at the Tower of Babel. Confusion. Nimrod built his tower marked by the words, "Let us build for ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." And God said this, "The people have become one, and they have one language. Now, watch this, nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them." All of them could communicate with one another. One language. Now, when we dropped, I mentioned this last time, one of the first cables in the ocean that led from Mount Rainier, Washington to Asia. And it was under the guise of submarine communication cables. That's why they put these cables under the ocean. Would you believe now there are 400 of those cables? Jack, that would interest you. Now, they're put there under the guise of submarine communication cables. And some of them do that. So the submarines around the world can communicate. Those cables are there for that. But, ladies and gentlemen, the world is connected now. Because that's the basis for Wi-Fi, the internet, worldwide internet. Now, the second thing I want us to look at is at verses 2 and 3. It's the authority of the harlot. Look at verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads, 10 horns. This is rulers from around the world have become obsessed, listen to this, with this Babylonian harlot. Her influence encompasses the world. And right now, we're setting up to be deceived by the beast and the false prophet. And Satan is behind it all and his demon hosts. And the leaders of the earth will become enamored with this world false religion. They're buying into it. Look at the appeal of the great harlot. Look in verse 4. This is the appeal of the great harlot. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones. Now, prostitutes usually dress so as to attract attention to themselves. And metaphorically, the harlot Babylon will be no different. Many religions will be used to help the beast come to world power. All designed to deceive. All bathed with a generous spirit of good. No, really, wonderful works of righteousness. Millions of dollars are going to help build houses for the poor and feed the hungry and clothe the needy. I'm for that. Medical services and vaccines will be used to help stem the tide of pandemics. I'm for that. It will be a magnificent works that no human source can measure in our times. Now, what's happening is the entire world is getting back together again. That's what I'm saying. I mean, we're providing medical help. We're providing financial resources for the world. And they're coming here. They're coming here. Listen to this. Google and Facebook, Amazon and Microsoft own a large portion of those cables. Or they lease a large portion of those cables. And now there's over 400 of those cables stretching around the world underneath the ocean. The prostitution that she is putting forth is drawing in millions and millions and millions of people. And it's under the guise of, let's guard our planet. Let's get away from these fossil fuels. And let's get to some clean energy sources like wind and sun. Let's get to those sources. And nuclear power. Clean energy sources. And get away from oil. Verses 4 and 5, 4b and 5, it says, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality, and on her forehead a name that was written, here it comes, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and of the abominations of the earth. To those of us who are just mildly acquainted with the fertility cults of the ancient world, the demonic ceremonies were composed of drinking a mixture of wine and honey and water and flour and other little secret ingredients. And they drank this until their understandings were dimmed and their passions excited. And this medicated draught, they were not duly prepared for what they were going to either see or hear. And they're still doing that now. It's called drugs. A worldwide drug addiction is doing the same thing today, and it's happening right now. Babylon will mesmerize and intoxicate the world with her religious system of works. Religion appeals to our sin nature, our ego, approbation lust. You know what approbation lust is? Have any idea? It's the lust for the approval of people. I mean, I like to get bragged on, don't you? I like to get a pat on the back every once in a while. But there's some people who lust for that. And if you don't give them that kind of respect, they think you're upset with them. You're mad. But approbation is the lust for the approval of people. And then there's the power lust, the lust to control. And that's the lust, if I can't run this thing, I'm not going to be a part of it. Power. People want to control. They want the power. And there's the material lusts. And then there's the sensual lust. I mean, we have pornography everywhere. I mean, it's just everyday occurrence. You can't get on the web. You can't look up news without getting into porn. Listen to this. This is what I want you to hear. Religious organizations are filled, and this is true, with sexual predators of every sort. Even here, they are among us. And they're hidden in plain sight. Linda and I attended a meeting in Jackson, it's been several years ago now, on how, especially among children, how to discover a sexual predator, how to look for signs that there's a predator among us. What to look for. How to guard our children. That gets all over me. Know who's teaching your children. Know who they are. Know who you trust your children to. Know who they are. Value that. And when you find those young teachers that are good with their children, keep them. Hold on to them. So Babylon, the city, and the tower that spawned the system corrupted the world with a false religion. And it's going to culminate, this is my belief now, with the rebuilding of the ancient city of Babylon. I think it's going to be rebuilt. That's just I'm going to go on publicly and say that I think it will be rebuilt. It's in the process of being rebuilt now. All it needs is more resources. And they're going to get it. And then we can see in verse 6, John's accusation against the harlot. Look at this. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered greatly. Now this woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, but not from drinking alcoholic beverages. She was drunk with the blood of the saints, with the blood of those who are witnesses for Jesus Christ. The obvious point is that false religion is filled with murderers. And then the explanation is given beginning in verse 7. But the angel said to me, "Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which is wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains upon which the woman sits. There are also 7 kings. 5 have fallen, 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. Then the beast that was and is not, and is himself also the 8th, and is of the 7, and is going to perdition, rather. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they will receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. That's coming. That's coming in what we call the Great Tribulation. These are the one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. That's coming. The beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin, they're all the same. The abomination of desolation, all the same. And he's coming. And I think he's on the earth now. Maybe a small child, maybe a grown man. But I think he's here. I'm going on record in saying that. I think the world is just so, it's unbelievable how we communicate in the world now. We can talk to those people. We can talk to Germany. And we can communicate to the Germans. They've got apps that will change my English into German. And they can communicate with me. It'll turn their German into English. And I can go to any place in the world with my cell phone and talk to people. And God said, remember when he, at the Tower of Babel, how he got the people to spread out? How did he do it? Change the languages. Well, if they couldn't communicate, they had to break into clans and ultimately into nations and put up borders and build an army. Build an army to protect yourself. That's the truth. That's God's word. I'm not making that up. But all that's coming down. All of that is being destroyed. And this harlot is going to destroy many lives who have become drunk with her seductive wine of self-righteousness and good works. And religion has always hated grace. Religion hates grace. Religion says man can be good. All we have to do is be good and to please God. Well, we can't be good. We're sinners. And sinners need a Savior, right? That's why Jesus came. If we could be good enough to have eternal life by our good works, why did he come? Religion compliments and praises man's works. Grace compliments and praises God's work in Jesus Christ. That's the difference. Religion focuses on man. Grace focuses on sinners. Religion focuses on goodness. Grace focuses on sinners. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I am. And I know the depths of my sin. The Bible, Jeremiah says, my sin, my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I know my own heart. I know my own heart. Without Jesus Christ, I wouldn't have a chance. But I've grown to love Him and want to serve Him and walk with Him and live for Him. So then I can, when I'm walking with Him, I'm in fellowship with the living God. Now, sometimes I get out of fellowship. Don't ask my wife. I'm sorry to say ask my wife. Don't do that. But you know that. You already know that. We all do. But God says, if you confess your sins, what's He going to do? I will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'll put you back in fellowship with me. And He always makes our sins, even our thoughts, our words, our ways, He always makes them available for us. Well, let me put it this way. God will discipline you here. He takes you to His woodshed. Ever been to the woodshed?
Yeah.
I've been to the woodshed here.
Yeah.
And I knew why I was there. Because the Holy Spirit let me know.
So on judgment day, we'll just be judged for our works.
We'll be judged for the works. We won't be judged for our sin. That was on Christ. Isn't that good? How valuable is His work for us? We'll be judged for our works, good or bad. That's what Paul said. We'll be judged for how we carried out our giftedness. We've been given those spiritual gifts that I've talked about. And we'll be judged for those. How we've carried them out. Things that are good, things that are not good. And we'll be rewarded or we will lose reward. But our loss of reward won't be going to hell. Okay? will be in the kingdom, but maybe ruling over two cities, not 10. That's the best way I can put it. I want to rule over 10. What about you? I want to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. I want to do now what I'm going to wish I would have done when I stand before Him. Does that make sense? Can I say that again? I want to do now what I'm going to wish I would have done when I stand before Him. I want to walk with the Savior. I'm not self-righteous. I'm not. I'm plain as corn silk. I'm just as plain as I can be. I think I ended about verse 7. Verse 14. The extermination of the harlot. Verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and those who are with Him are called chosen and faithful. And this is going to lead up to what I call the final battle of the war of the great day of God Almighty. Now, we call it the Battle of Armageddon, and I get that, and we're going to talk about that at a later time. Har means mountain, and it's going to be at the Jezreel Valley, or in Megiddo, the plain of Megiddo in the Jezreel Valley. But we're more accurate biblically if we call it the final battle of the war of the great day of God Almighty. Now, in Isaiah 63, look at Isaiah 63 one more time. Turn there. We see Jesus. This is amazing. The second person of the Trinity, we see Him in Isaiah 63, 1 through 6. And we read these words. Who is this who comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah, that sheepfold? This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red? This is spoken about the Lord Jesus. And your garments like the one who treads in the winepress. I have trodden down the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. For I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments. I have stained all my robes, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. And I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury sustained me, and I have trodden down the peoples in my anger, and made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth. Jesus is going to do it alone. When he's coming back with a sword to destroy. Now verses 15 through 18. And the 10 horns which you saw and the beasts, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and will burn her up with fire. For God has put in their hearts to execute His purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. I think it's talking about Babylon. I'm talking about the Babylon today. While the beast is pursuing the Jews, his capital city, we're going to find out next time, is going to be destroyed. He's getting his army together in the Jezreel Valley. There's not going to be any fighting there in the valley, in Armageddon. There's not going to be any fighting there. This is where the beast is going to meet with his armies. But he's going to put his armies together. He's got one target, and that's Jerusalem. Jerusalem is going to be in his crosshairs. And so the beast is meeting with his armies. He's getting everything ready to go against Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, he gets the idea that Babylon has been destroyed. His capital city is destroyed. And that infuriates him. And he has a vengeance to get to the Jerusalem. The destruction of Babylon will take place in a time that the stars and sun are darkened. This is Isaiah 13, 1 and 9. and 10. You want to write that down. Isaiah 13, 1 and 9 and 10. And the city, that's Babylon, will become as desolate as Sodom and Gomorrah, burned completely with no remains whatsoever. That's Isaiah 13, 9. Put that down. Isaiah 13, 9. It shall become desolate forever, for neither man nor beast entering it anymore. This is in the kingdom. Isaiah 13, 20. It will be a time of judgment not only for Babylon, but for all the nations that were aligned with her. Isaiah 13, 11 through 13. Its destruction will be followed by universal rest and peace. Isaiah 14, 7 and 8. And its destruction is directly associated with the casting of Lucifer. You remember him, don't you? Into hell. That's his final destination. That's why God created hell, for the devil and his angels. It was never created for man. Okay? And this is number 7. Babylon's stones will never be used in the future anywhere again. Whereas the present day ruins of Babylon have been frequently plundered and reused in later constructions all throughout history. It's been built and rebuilt, and built and rebuilt, destroyed and rebuilt. Jeremiah 51, 26, read that. Jeremiah 51, 26. Now this is, I'm going to quote a Dr. Henry Morris was a professor that taught in the seminary that I went to when Linda and I were just young in the Lord and young, newly married. We went to Grace Theological Seminary in Winona Lake, Indiana. And I'll be honest with you, we loved the seminary. And they loved to hear Linda talk. They'd get her to say stuff because they had never heard anybody talk like that. She used her y'all and stuff like that, you know, the southern vernacular. She used that. And they'd come in and try to make a conversation with her just so they could get her to say those southern words. But the reason we really, I mean, this is not a very spiritual reason. And it snowed there. It snowed a lot. Now, we were used to snow being in Kosciuszko. We got snow, and we got snow when we were in Brookhaven. We got snow when we were in DeKalb. We got snow when we were in Batesville. But it never stayed 2 or 3 weeks. And it never snowed on top of that snow. And the temperature never dropped, you know, 30 below. And we're thinking, you know, the South, it seems a little bit more like God's leading us back home to the South. And that's, like I said, didn't sound very spiritual. But that's when I came down to New Orleans Seminary. And I got a degree from there. But God wasn't through. Then I went to Dallas Theological Seminary and I got a degree from there. I've got far more degrees than I have intelligence. I'm educated beyond my intelligence, Mr. Jack. And you know what I mean by that. But I've got a lot of years of Hebrew and a lot of years of Greek. And it helps a lot. Sometimes a word makes a difference. Just one word. But Dr. Henry Morris said, and I'll close right here. And I'll open it up and let you, we'll just turn the tape off and let you just ask questions. Dr. Henry Moore said this, "The site of modern Babylon is strategically located at the crossroads of Asia, Europe, and Africa, and is not far from the Persian Gulf. It is also near the world's richest oil fields and has virtually unlimited water supply from the Euphrates River." Those considerations led the famed historian Arnold Toynbee to proclaim that Babylon would be the ideal site for an important political and cultural center. End quote. That's why I think it will be rebuilt. But I want to close with this. When it's destroyed, it will be like Sodom and Gomorrah. It will be no more. And it will become one day the beast's capital city, beast and the false prophet. And I think that's in the future. Man can do some amazing things, can't he? I mean, he can do things now. He's got the equipment to do things now that we just can't even begin. Let me close with a prayer. Well, Father, thank you for our study. I pray that it's valuable. I pray that it meets a need somewhere along the way. And thank you for our time. And thank you for getting us into the building. Thank you for Gail and her faithfulness. And thank you for the study in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'll turn this baby.